Hello everyone, it's your girl Aja Pearl. Now, I know I've been away from recording for a while because life happened, so I had to take care of life. But I'm back, and today I'm going to read chapter 12 of Chalice, the Book of Life. Now, before I begin, I want to say that Chalice, the Book of Life will be sold, well, is sold on Amazon and Barnes and Noble online. You have to get, if you want, if you're going to order from Barnes and Noble, it has to be online only. And if you're going to order from Amazon, it's available on Kindle, paperback, and hardback. Also, I added a pronunciation page, translation page, and glossary to the book, so it'll be easy for the reader to read and understand. Now, with that being said, let's start with Luke chapter 18, verse 17, which reads, "Remember this, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Now we enter our story. As she approaches her second trimester, Zora contemplates over and over being a new mother, but her new marriage to Jabari Montague allays those fears. Before, she thought that if the baby was placed in a loving home with a loving couple, the baby would not want nothing in this world. However, now Zora realizes that she and Jabari are a loving couple who can provide a loving home. Yes, she and Anton are no longer together. There's a human life growing inside of her. It is a life she created out of love. Plus, there are signs. Zora keeps seeing babies everywhere, on television, on a train. Was God trying to tell her something? Sometimes when she feels the baby kick, Zora smiles. She's beginning to grow a bond with her unborn child, even though she will have to struggle to take care of someone else. Zora will still have the support of her friends and family. Jabari and Isaac accompany Zora to the doctor's appointment at St. Anne's OBGYN clinic. It is a little strange for Isaac and Jabari. How does your mother feel about the pregnancy? Isaac asks softly. Well, she's not happy. Zora starts. She called Tony's house and spoke to his mother. Then they got into an argument. She's been trying to call them until she got the message that their phone was disconnected. My wife does not have to worry about the past, and neither does my mother-in-law, interrupts Jabari. They're in good hands. What about you and Fab? Isaac says, I met her downstairs at the lobby of Zora's apartment building. I suggested that we get a second opinion from the doctor. So we saw the doctor. He gave her a pregnancy test and well, the results are in a week. Oh, okay. I hope it works out for the both of you. Me too. Wow, Jabari whispers to Zora. There's a lot of women here. Of course there is, Zora softly confirms. This is the OBGYN. Oh, okay. Jabari's eyes wander around at the pictures. He is in awe of all the babies, pregnant women, and women nursing their children on the walls. Zora can tell by the look on his face that he feels unsure about being in this kind of environment. Zora suggests, you know, if you feel uncomfortable. No, I'm cool, Jabari assures Zora. Are you sure? Yeah, you got a snack machine around here? It's on the first floor. Jabari got out of his seat. He says, cool. You guys want anything? Zora says, no, I'm fine for now. Yeah, man, Isaac interjects. Could you get me a can of anything? Jabari says, no problem. Jabari walks out of the office and starts his way to the elevators. Meanwhile, Zori sh shakes her head and giggles. "What's so funny?" Isaac asks. Jabari's reaction to being in an OBGYN clinic. "It's so cute," Zora replies. "Cute? Aw, man. Why is that cute? I have never seen the side of Jabari in my life. He is always so level-headed and calm about situations. Now there he is, here. It shows that, well, he's not tough, he's human." "Oh, okay. Speaking from a guy's perspective, this is a woman thing. This has nothing to do with men. It has everything to do with men. How do you think you got here? From a catalog?" "I know that. I'm talking about the other stuff. Your. Zora has a puzzled look on her face. "Please don't make me say it," Isaac begs Zora. "What are you trying to say, Isaac?" asks Zora. Isaac takes a deep breath. He shyly says, "Thab calls it her monthly visitor." Zora says, "Oh, that! What about it?" "I hate the fact that she asked me to go to the store and get her pads. I remember the first time. I think I went to the drugstore 5 times until I bought her the right ones. Thank God for the receipt." Zora laughs. Isaac replies, "That's not funny." "I'm sorry, Isaac," Zora replies with laughter. "But now you see a woman's trials and tribulations as well as their reaction to those trials and tribulations. It's not easy." They sit quietly for a while. Then Jabari comes back into the office with some snacks. He gives Isaac a can of soda and Zora a small bag of candy. Jabari then sits in his regular seat. "Do you feel better?" Zora asks sarcastically. Jabari nods and Zora smiles. "Have you been thinking about what's going on with your have you been thinking about what you're going to do with this baby?" Isaac asks. "Over and over again," Zora says. "I know that I'm not alone, but it feels like it." "Look," Jabari begins eating between bites. "I didn't want to tell you right away because I know you've been super sensitive these days, but I saw Tony the other day, and he asked about you." Zora quickly looks at Jabari. Her heart drops. Jabari explains, "He wanted me to meet up with him to invite me to his wedding and give you this letter. I didn't tell him about the baby or that we got married." Zora asks, "Why not?" "That's not my place." "It is your place. You're my husband now. He has to know. I only told him that you are doing fine. He needs to know that we're now married and there's a baby on the way. Just like that. We're married and there's a baby on the way." "Exactly. Zora, it's not that simple. Have a little compassion for the man." "Compassion? What about me? Tony left me for another woman while I'm pregnant with his baby. Plus, his family will not acknowledge the baby in me." Jabari pulls out a letter. Zora looks at it. He tries to give it to her, but Zora pushes it away. "Come on, ZZ," Jabari urges. "Get it away from me, please," Zora demands. "I don't want to hear what Anton has to say." "Fine. But whenever you're ready, it's right here." "You know what? Give it to me." Zora takes the letter from Jabari's hands. She looks at the sealed envelope. She sees her name written in his handwriting. Zora then slowly runs her finger along the imprint where he wrote her name. Then she abruptly shoves it into her purse and then closes the flap. "You still love Tony," Isaac concludes. "A little bit," Zora confesses. No. You either love someone or not." "Okay, fine. I still love Anton. I'll always love him. But it's over." A tear runs down her face. Isaac says, No, ZZ, please don't cry. I didn't mean to upset you, but it's time to move on with your life. God has already sent you another love your way. Just be patient and let the man love you. I told you the same thing the other night, Jabari asked. Right now, your focus should be on a love that is growing inside you. The Lord has blessed you with an amazing gift, and we will be able to help you take care of this gift. You know what the Bible says? It takes a village to raise a child. We would be happy to help you raise this angel. Yes, my baby is a gift. My baby needs me, Sora says, rubbing her stomach. Why am I still so scared? After a 30-minute wait, the sonographer calls Zora into the examination room. Zora gets up to follow her the sonographer. Good luck, ZZ, Isaac says. Zora looks back and smiles at her two friends. You'll be fine, says Jabari. She follows the sonographer into the examination room. As always, she gets ready for her examination. Zora is also a little apprehensive about her unborn baby's progress. The sonographer says, "Okay, Miss Grant, are you ready to rock and roll?" Zora replies, "As ready as I'll ever be." When they arrive in the examination room, she changes into her hospital gown and hops onto the examination table. The sonographer says, "Well, today we are going to finally see what kind of bun you're baking in that oven. Do you want to know, or do you want to be surprised?" Zora replies, "I want to be surprised. My main concern is my baby's health and development." "Very well, then." The sonographer squirts a cold jelly on Zora's stomach. The guys are right, she thinks. My baby is a gift. She thinks of the last time she and her ex-boyfriend made love. Their bronze and tan bodies lay skin to skin with each other. Their souls become one with the power of love. I miss Tony so much, but I can't be mad at him forever, she thinks to herself. I have to accept the fact that he's with another love. We may not be together, but he has given me a wonderful gift, a gift of love. Our beautiful baby of love. Later, Zora comes out of the examination room to meet with her friends. "Well," Jabari asks, "what did they say?" Isaac asks anxiously. "I wanted to be surprised at the birth." "Aw, man, what? Don't you want to be surprised too?" "Well, it's nice to know if it's going to be a boy or a girl," Isaac replies. "The important thing is that the baby is healthy and I decided to keep my baby," Zara replies with a warm smile. The guys cheer. "Now that calls for a celebration," Isaac replies. "Let's get out of here. This place gives me the creeps." As they walked up the block, Zora mentions, "Hey, I have something to give you guys." She goes into her purse and pulls out three small envelopes. Zora gives one to Jabari and two to Isaac. The other was for Fabiola. "A baby shower?" Jabari asks. "Yeah," Zora agrees. "My mom is putting together a baby shower in 2 weeks. You guys are invited." Isaac and Jabari agree to come to the baby shower. Zora replies, "Great. There's going to be a lot of games and food. Music and food and did I mention food?" "You mentioned food three times," Isaac says. "Oh, sorry." "Don't pay him no mind," Jabari says. "You're supposed to have food on the brain." "I don't know about you guys, but I feel like eating Chinese food." "Sounds good to me," Isaac says. "Me too," Jabari agrees. "I know a great place where we can get a family special for $5. Oh, lead the way, Zara says. 2 weeks after the pre-engagement party, Anton goes to meet with Nadalene for their date. After getting off the subway, he stops at a flower shop and picks up a single red rose. When he left the flower shop, he takes a deep breath and continues his way to Nadalene to see Nadalene. Things are going fine between Anton and Nadalene, but they're still strangers to each other. Most of all, Anton knows for a fact that there is no chance that he and Zora will rekindle their love. Therefore, he has to move on with his life, especially if it means spending the rest of his life with Nadalene. When he reaches the front door, he realizes that his hands are sweaty again. Anton hurriedly places the rose under his armpit and wipes his hands on his jeans. He takes a deep breath, holds the rose by the stem, and rings the doorbell. "Who's there?" a woman asks. "It's Anton Braganza," Anton replies. "I'm here to pick up La Nadalene for our date." "Oh, how wonderful!" A slim woman dressed in a yellow and red sari opens the door. Her hair is pulled back in a long braid with a red bindi between her eyebrows. "Anton, dear, it's so good to see you again," the woman greets. "Thank you," Anton says shyly. "Come into my home," she says, bringing him into her home. "Excuse my manners. I'm Nata's aunt, Dina. Please have a seat." "Nata? Oh yes, that's what we call her. It's short for Nadalene." "Oh, okay. Thank you for welcoming me to your home, miss." "None of that miss nonsense. You can call me Auntie Tina, like everyone else. Besides, we are practically family anyway."
"Yeah, that's right.
"Would you like something to drink while you wait?"
"Oh no, Auntie Tina. I'm perfectly fine."
"Okay, well, I'll go get Nata. She should be almost ready." As Auntie Tina vanishes up the stairs, Anton waits patiently for his date. The wait feels like an eternity until he hears footsteps rushing down the steps. Anton's pulses begin to race. He thinks it was his date. It's his date, but it's another young lady. Her name is Mari, Nadalene's older sister. She wears a purple jumpsuit with red earrings and a big red belt with matching red boots. Her hair is loosely pinned, and she hardly wears any makeup except for a noticeable cherry red gloss that glistens on her lips. Mari is already married for 2 years to her husband. She and her husband met while they were still attending college. After college, they were married in a lavish traditional Indian wedding.
Hiya again,"
Mari greets as she sat in a chair next to Anton.
"Hey, I'm
Anton starts. "I know who you are, brother-in-law." Mari plops down on a chair next to Anton. Mari sees the look on Anton's face. She assures him, "Hey, you're not the only one who is nervous. Before you got here, she tried on six outfits already." Anton looks at Mari with awe.
"It's true,"
Mari insisted. Mari sighs. She then starts, "I remember I was like her when my husband and I went on our first date. I was so bloody nervous, and I fancied him."
"You fancied him?"
Anton asked, confused by her choice of words.
"I liked him a lot."
"Oh, yes. I wanted to show that I was dishy."
"Dishy?
"Attractive."
"Oh."
Then the moment of truth comes slowly down the steps. When Anton sees Nadalene, he is amazed by her appearance. Nadalene wears a white lace t-shirt with a stonewashed denim jumper. Her shoes were white flats with bows on the back of the heel. Her hair is in a side ponytail, wrapped in a white lace bow. Like Mari, Nadaline does not wear any makeup except for her pink bubblegum lip gloss, which gives a slight shimmer. Anton rises from the couch with a rose in his hand. "Hi," Anton greets her. "Hiya," Nadaline replies. You look very pretty." "Thank you." She shyly plays with her hair. "Oh, this is for you," Anton says, giving the rose to his date. "Aw, how sweet," Nadaline compliments. He watches her sniff the rose and thinks, "Wow, she's more beautiful in regular clothes. We better get going if we want to make that movie on time," Anton suggests. "Oh yeah, Mari. Are you ready?" Nadaline asks. "Mari? Oh, she's our chaperone. Does this mean she will be staying in the States with you?" "Oh no, the family and I are going back to the UK next week. I miss my husband. After I leave, Auntie Tina will be the chaperone until the big day," Mari explains. "Oh, okay," Anton agrees. "Don't worry about me. I'm no bother," Mari assures Anton. "Well, ladies, off we go to the movies." "Aunt Tina, we're leaving," Mari announces. "Okay, children, have a good day. Have a good time." Anton, Mari, and Nadaline take the train to Sea Beach Island. Sea Beach Island is a recreational part of the city by the sea. It's a tourist attraction with restaurants, hotels, and recreation spots. Also, there are always a live entertainment performed at the beach. As the train makes its destination to Sea Beach Island, they see the lights of the island illuminate like the lights of Alaska. It is beautiful. When they walk up the stairs, the lights become brighter and brighter. When they finally reach the surface, they are surrounded by the lights of the rides of the amusement, restaurants, lounges, and infamous Sea Beach movie theater. "Wow, this is amazing," Mari says with astonishment. "Yeah, I don't know what to do first," Nadaline says. "Well, let's have some dinner. We have enough time until the movie starts," Anton suggests. "Nosh sounds jolly good. So, where should we go?" Mari asks. They walked and searched for a restaurant. While searching, they were intrigued by the lights and people enjoying themselves without a care in the world. Suddenly, Mari spots a restaurant called By the Shore. They go inside and find a booth. They start with drinks and appetizers. It does not seem to be a date with a chaperone, but it's more like three friends having fun together. "Could you excuse us for a minute?" Nadaline says to Anton, pulling her sister with her. "You know how girls like to travel in packs." They ask where the bathroom is located, but when they reach the bathroom, Nadaline immediately pulls her inside. "What is it? What's wrong with you?" Mari asks. "Nothing, nothing. Everything is wonderful," Nadaline says. "I thought I was going to be nervous, but I feel so relaxed." "Well, that's brilliant, yeah?" "Yeah." "Thanks, sister." "You're welcome, Nata." "So does this mean that maybe there's sparks?" "Well, yeah, especially the other night. The other night, I had this queer dream about Anton." "What was so queer about it?" "We were shagging." "What? Shut up!" Mari could not stop laughing. "Come on, it's not funny," says Nadaline. "Yeah, it is," Mari exclaims. Mari! All right, I'm sorry. So tell me, did Anton love playing with your... Did Anton love playing with your knockers? Shut up, Mari. All right, all right. How big is Anton's knob? Mari! All right, sorry. Well, this makes it official. What's official? I think Anton is the new ruler of your heart. Perhaps. Oh, come on. Your time with Reza has been over for a while. Allow yourself to have feelings for this bloke. There's nothing wrong with fancying him. Besides, the rose very posh. Yeah, it was. But Reza is my first love. Reza is not going to be your husband. Give it some time to know Anton. Stop being afraid of having feelings for another. I suppose you're right. Hey, I know this is scary. I did not know if Lazar and I would have the wedding. But it worked out for the best. You and Lazar were arranged to marry Mari. That doesn't mean that it was love at first sight. We had to get to know each other. And once we found some common interests, we became friends. Then one day, Lazar kissed me. It was like magic. I want that to happen to you. Thanks, Mari. Anyway, we need to get back to our table. Otherwise, he'll think that we flushed ourselves back home. All right. By the way, nice one. Natalie rolls her eyes. They leave the bathroom and return to the booth. Is everything okay? Anton asks. Oh, jolly good, Mari replies. So let's eat. They order their food and spend the entire time eating, laughing, and joking. When Anton, Natalie, and Mari are done with dinner, they make their way to the Sea Beach Cinema. Throughout the movie, Mari sits between Anton and Natalie. Anton thinks, Natalie, Nata, you look so pretty tonight. I would love to sit next to her. Maybe kiss her. Touch her. I do fancy Anton, Natalie thinks to herself. Perhaps Mari is right. This could be a sign. He does look fit. Very fit. I hope my sister doesn't open her big fat mouth. When the movie's over, they realize it was getting late. Anton, Natalie, and Mari take the train back to Auntie Tina's house. Mari goes inside the house, but she spies on her sister from the window. I had a brilliant time tonight, Natalie says. Me too, Nata. Anton replies. You're starting to sound like my relatives. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, don't be sorry. I prefer Nata anyways. Natalie is such a mouthful. They both laugh. There was a short pause. Cheers. Good night, said Natalie says. Good night, Nata. Anton replies. The days turn into weeks, and Christopher could not find a potential candidate for his bar. Every candidate seemed qualified for the position, but they are not the right fit for the bar. Christopher is getting discouraged. This is getting frustrating, Christopher says, talking to his wife on the phone. They're either a yuppie or a skinhead or... Sweetheart, beggars can't be choosers. Remember, patience is a virtue, Valentine assures Christopher. I know. But we need help. I'm so stressed. I'm about to pull my hair out of my head. Suddenly, Christopher hears a knock on the door. Hold on for a minute, Val. Christopher tells Valentine on the phone. Okay, Valentine says. Then someone knocks on the office door. Yeah? Christopher answers. It's Johan, the person reveals. I need to tell you something. Come in, Johan. Hey, there's someone who wants to see you for the manager position. Oh, okay. Can you bring the applicant to my office? Okay. Oh, by the way, yeah? Isham called and said that he would be about 20 minutes late. 20? That son of a... Okay. Okay, fine. Tell the applicant to come into the office. Okay. Johan leaves the office. Look, honey, I have to go. He tells his wife on the phone. I'm getting piled with more bullshit. Let me guess. Isham? Valentine says. Yep. Okay. Bye, honey. Later. While Christopher tries to get his thoughts and papers together, there is a knock at the door. The door is open, Christopher shouts. He continues to fumble with the papers on his desk until something catches his attention. It's the smell of coconut and mango lingers in the office. He looks up and sees a young petite woman standing in front of his desk. The bangs from her mushroom hairstyle could not hide her big brown eyes. Her 14-karat gold dolphin earrings chandeliers through her soft, shiny hair. Her lips were lacquered with gloss, and her fitted jeans play the yin to her lips' yang. Hi, I'm sorry for the mess. Please have a seat, Christopher insists. The young lady sits in the chair. Forgive me, he continues. As you can see, I'm in a desperate need of some help. It can get crazy around here, and no need to explain, she interrupts. I can handle crazy, which explains why I'm here. Okay, well, do you have a resume? Yeah. She hands the proprietor her resume. Lacey Crystal Culliver. Lacey Crystal. That's a very unusual name. And my wife has a unique name too. Oh, really? Yeah, her name is Valentine. As the holiday? You got it. Well, that is unusual. They both laugh. Christopher continues to look over her resume. Although she does not show it, she sits and waits anxiously for his response. Well, Miss Culver, your resume is impressive. You have extensive managerial experience and you have a little bit of serving background. Thank you, Mr. Newkirk. However, I have a concern. Yes? Do you have an ID with your date of birth? Sure. She goes into her purse and pulls out her ID. She hands it to Christopher, and he thoroughly examines it. Okay, you're fine, Christopher says. Great, Lacey Crystal agrees. No offense, but I had a former team member who turned out to be underage. Wow. Yeah, but she's doing okay now. Good for her. Can you mix drinks? Mixed drinks. Yeah, like alcohol, stuff like that. Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. I see. Christopher looks at his watch. The interview is 20 minutes long. Excuse me for a minute, he tells the young woman. Sure, she agrees. He rises from his desk and leaves the office. Damn, why did I say that? Lacey Crystal thinks to herself. I do not know anything about alcohol. Lacey Crystal is in a panic. Why am I here? Okay. You need a job. Her thoughts continue. This is not the job you want, and your family would probably disown you for being at a bar and wearing these tight jeans. Meanwhile, Christopher is getting very impatient with Isham. Isham said he can't make it today, Johan said with regret. Christopher is so frustrated and angry he pulls on his hair. I don't believe this guy. Christopher exclaims, "That's it. I have had it with him. The next time he comes into my bar, I'm going to give him a rude awakening." So, what are we going to do? Christopher is desperate. He has to act fast. You don't have this kind of experience, and I don't want to ask Val. She's been working here a lot lately. Then it dawns on him. Christopher says, "Hey, maybe the girl in the office." Johan asks, "Are you sure about that, Chief?" "Jojo, I'm desperate. What else can I do?" "Well, you're the boss. I hope for you and the bar's sake, you're making the right decision with this chick." "Me too." Christopher sighs. He walks back into the office while Johan goes back to busting the tables. Before he opens the door, he takes a breath. "Lord," Christopher prays, "please be my guide." Christopher opens the door. Lacey Crystal turns around abruptly with her heart full of anxiety. "Hey," Christopher starts, "my bartender bailed on me. Do you think you could fill in for him?" Lacey Crystal, speechless. She is like a deer in headlights. "Sure," Lacey Crystal lies, "but I'm here for the manager's position. A manager has to be able to multitask." Christopher explains, "Can you do it?" "Yeah, I can do it." "Okay, great. We can get started now." "Now?" "Yeah, now. The bar opens in less than an hour and everything has to be prepped and ready." "Okay. Oh, let's do it." "All right." While Zora converses with her classmates in the hallway, Anton happens to walk by her. He is bewildered by what he saw. Zora looks a little different. Anton stops and briefly turns his head in Zora's direction. "Maybe I'm imagining things," Anton thinks. He continues his path to his next class. When he reaches his next class, which is Business 307, he happens to see Isaac Gonzalez. Isaac is sitting in his chair, listening to his Walkman before class starts. He taps Isaac on the shoulder. "What's up, Tony?" greets Isaac, looking at Anton while taking the headphones off his ears. "Hey, how's Fabiola doing?" asks Anton. "She's great." However, Isaac can sense something was wrong with his friend. "What's wrong?" Isaac asks. "Don't tell me the date with Natalie was a bust." "No, it was great," Anton explains. "I met Natalie's aunt and Natalie's sister. Natalie's sister was a chaperone." "Oh, so if your date went well, what's with the look on your face?" "I saw Zora." "Of course, you saw Zora. The two of you attend the same school. That's going to happen sometimes. As your friend, I'm telling you to let Zora go. She has made it clear that it's over, and you, my friend, are about to embark on a new relationship with another woman." "I know all that. But, Zora looks different." "How so?" "Has Zora put on weight lately?" Isaac begins to panic. "I don't know. Why do you ask?" Isaac asks. Anton says, "Don't tell me you haven't noticed. You still hang out with Zora, right?" "Come to think of it, Zora's appetite has been like a monster lately. But one thing I learned about women is that a man never mentions their weight. Never." However, if she mentions her weight, well, let's say your answer should be right. Well, what's the right answer? I have no idea. Anyway, you're going to need this advice when dealing with Natalie. When classes are over, Anton has a 1 hour break until his next classes. He decides to go to the lounge to do some studying. Meanwhile, Jabari happens to be going to the lounge too. "Good afternoon, Mr. Braganza," Jabari says, walking to Anton. "Hey, what's up?" Anton greets Jabari. "Another day at college." He sits with Anton at the table, but Jabari sees something is bothering him. "Are you okay, buddy?" he asks. "I saw Zora on the way to my first class. Has she gained a few pounds?" Anton asks. "Is she okay?" Jabari was very hesitant. He does not know what to say. "Why do you ask?" Jabari asks. "She looks a little bit fat," Anton says. "Aw, don't worry about her. She's probably going through some things. I'm pretty sure it'll pass, as well as those pesky pounds. Of course, I would never mention a woman's weight. That's suicide." "I know, Isaac told me. I guess I will use this advice towards my marriage." "So you are looking to marry Natalina?" "Natalie. Why not? Zora is gone. And I have a potential wife waiting for me. I still have my uncertainty, but there she is. I like her, and I guess I am attracted to her." I'm glad to hear you say that. You need to get on with your life. As far as Zora is concerned, there is a reason why she has put on some weight." "What's the reason?" "She's having a baby."
"She's what? She's having a baby? Who's the father of the baby?"
At the moment, Jabari wants to tell him the truth, but he thinks it's not his place to tell Anton. Zora should be the one to say to him that he's the father of their unborn child, despite Anton's marriage to someone else. "Damn it, Zora," Jabari thinks angrily. "You were supposed to tell Tony."
"Me,"
Jabari confesses. Anton asks with shock,
"You? Are you kidding me? How could she?"
I wish I was kidding you, and I do have to explain how it happened. I don't believe this.
When did this happen?"
"Well, I think it was after you guys broke up."
"You son of a bitch. You took advantage of my Zora. Wrong. When you broke her heart, she was no longer your Zora. Plus, she's a human being. She belongs to no one."
"You did not treat her like a human being when you were having sex with her. You took advantage of a young lady with a broken heart. And you are responsible for giving her that broken heart, remember? You know, I have no control over this arranged marriage."
"Speaking of marriage, we're that too."
Anton is lost for words. Although he does not show it, Jabari's heart is breaking. Anton is one of his best friends, and Jabari is emotionally slaying him. Anton says with a heavy heart,
"Jabari, I thought we were friends."
Jabari assures him, "We are friends."
No. "I'm sorry. My ex-girlfriend has your baby. Then you marry her, and I'm supposed to be okay with that?"
"Look, man, my intention was not to take advantage of my friend who is extremely vulnerable. But hold on for a minute. I'm not done. I don't expect you to buy this, but it just happened. One thing led to another, and here we are."
Anton could not stand the look at Jabari. Anton is so angry that he found himself getting warmer to the point that he broke a sweat.
Jabari says, "I know that you want to rip my head off, but I can assure you I was not going to leave her unmarried and pregnant. Zora and the baby did not ask for this. Most of all, they don't deserve to be abandoned like used goods. I will do the right thing for my family. Besides, I love Zora. You are full of it. I would love more than anything to toss your backstabbing ass out of the window. I love her too. Doesn't matter if we broke up, she is still my girl. That's why it still hurts. I could have trillions of loves in my lifetime, but Zora Grant will always be my number one. Not you, not my family, or anyone else can take that away from me. At this moment, you both betray me, and you both are disgusting. And you both disgust me. If I ever get over this, it'll take a very long, long time. Antoine angrily grabs his things and proceeds to storm out of the lounge until he turns around to retort, "Oh, and congratulations." Then he storms out the lounge. Well, that concludes chapter 12. Of Chalice, the Book of Life. Again, if you want a physical copy of the book, you can find it on Barnes & Noble online and Amazon. And Amazon has it on Kindle, paperback, and hardback. As for Barnes & Noble, I think it only comes in paperback. But anyway, happy reading and thank you for listening. Until next time.